You're listening to the Call Put Strike Financial News and Insights Podcast. We're recording every day the markets are open. Subscribe today and also follow us at callputstrike.com. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Call Put Strike, daily financial news and insights. My name is Scott Ponywaz, and I am the publisher of callputstrike.com and your host for today's episode as well. Tough day in the markets, not going to lie. A lot of tumbling, a lot of turning, and we'll get into that in just a second when we dive into today's financial news. For today's daily financial news and insights for June 11th, 2020, today is Thursday, and today the Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted 1,861 points as COVID-19 spiked. Well, stocks fell significantly on Thursday among fears that a second wave of the coronavirus will soon wash over the United States. All three major indexes were down by the end of the day, with the Dow Jones falling by 6.9%, the S&P 500 by 5.9%, and the NASDAQ by 5.3%. This was the third session in a row of losses for the Dow and the S&P 500. Oil prices dropped on Thursday. This is partially due to the concern of oversupply and also due to the fear of the second wave decreasing the demand for oil. If you missed yesterday's episode, we did take a dive into oil as well as renewable energies. So if you missed it, definitely recommend you take a listen to the second half of yesterday's episode. West Texas Intermediate fell by 8.24% to stop at $36.24 a barrel. Today was its worst session since April 27th. Brent crude dropped by 7.6% down to $38.55 per barrel. Not everyone considered Thursday's bleak market performance to be a bad thing. David Trainer of New Constructs, a research firm, spoke about this being the opportunity for investors to jump into the market. He said, quote, "It's time to buy the dip. Now is the chance to pick up stocks at a discount. Many investors missed the melt up in stocks over the past few weeks. The market is fairly valued, in my opinion, so large pullbacks create opportunity for value investors," end quote. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump tweeted his disagreement with the Federal Reserve's estimated drop in GDP for the remainder of 2020. According to them, GDP will drop by 6.5% in 2020 and regain 5% in 2021. His tweet read, quote, "The Federal Reserve is wrong so often. I see the numbers also and do much better than they do. We will have a very good third quarter, a great fourth quarter, and one of our best ever years in 2021. We will also soon have a vaccine and therapeutics cure. That is my opinion. Watch," end quote. The Labor Department's weekly unemployment report showed that 1.542 million Americans had filed during the week of May 31st to June 6th. This is a decrease of the prior week, which was 1.897 million who had filed. Many energy, travel, and banking companies saw losses today. Oneok, the natural gas company, saw a decrease of 15%. This was after the company issued a statement about a public offering of 26 million shares. The cruise line Carnival saw shares fall by 11% today, while Norwegian dropped by close to 14%. In addition to this, Royal Caribbean fell by over 8%. Citigroup's stock dropped by 7.2% Thursday, while Wells Fargo's decreased by 6.9%. JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs all decreased by over 5% each. Many retailers experienced stock decreases as well, as investors paused on their predictions of a quick reopening of the economy. Macy's stock slid by over 11%, Gap's fell by 8.8%, and Nordstrom by 7.8%. Starbucks also decreased today by over 5%. This was after KeyBank spoke about the decline in sales and the difficult recovery that will occur after the pandemic has passed. KeyBank also praised Starbucks' long-term prospects as the company has an excellent digital platform and presents innovative ideas to its consumers. According to data from the New York Times, 20 states and Puerto Rico have seen an increase in the reported number of cases in the past 2 weeks. Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Florida, Hawaii, Idaho, Kentucky, Missouri, Montana, New Mexico, North Carolina, Nevada, Oregon, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Washington all saw increases in their reported numbers of coronavirus. And that wraps up today's news. After the break, we're going to take a deeper look at the United States Postal Service and an outlook. Can it keep delivering? We'll be back in just a second after a quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the second half of Call Put Strike, daily financial news and insights. Second half of today's episode, we're going to take a deeper dive and a look at the United States Postal Service. There's been a lot of talk about some of the financial woes, and can it keep delivering? So here is the outlook. In the time before the global pandemic, the demand for the United States Postal Service, the USPS, was declining. In the time of email and texting, people simply didn't write as many letters to each other. Now, in the midst of the current COVID crisis, how is the U.S. Postal Service faring? So, to look first at the necessity of the Postal Service. In the week of March 31st to April 7th, the number of regular mail deliveries dropped by 24%. However, the amount of commercial mail volume, including people ordering packages from, you'd guessed it, Amazon, increased by 30%. The Postal Service is predicting a decrease in mail volume by at least 50% over the next year. This essential service is necessary to deliver shipments of things like prescription drugs, parcels, and income checks from the government. It is particularly needed in small towns and rural areas. As well, the USPS will be a key element in the delivery of self-tests of COVID-19. The FDA is currently working on such a swab and will require the USPS to deliver them to every household, which is 135 million households in the United States. So, what's the current situation with the USPS? Well, currently, the Postal Service is in a dire financial position. Much of the revenue it brings in is generated by business sending out mail, which is generally greatly reduced in recent times. The USPS has tried appealing for help, saying that the industry needs $75 billion in order to avoid financial ruin. So far, no money has been promised to them. The Coronavirus Relief Act did not address assisting the Postal Service despite providing large payments to other industries such as airlines and private cargo shippers. The USPS was offered the possibility of a $10 billion loan from the U.S. Treasury, but it was not guaranteed to be approved. So, with the grim outlook, what's the future of the USPS? The necessity of the Postal Service will not go away. Postal leaders have been making very upfront appeals for help in recent times. They've been running TV advertisements in an attempt to make citizens aware of the issue. So far, the USPS has been running without the assistance of taxpayers' dollars, one of the few major services to do so. However, they are warning Americans that they will soon run out of cash. The question of what to do for the postal services has slipped over into the political campaigns as well. President Donald Trump does not plan on providing any additional support for the agency. He said, quote, "The Postal Service is a joke," end quote, and declared that he would not help fund them unless they raised packaged rates by 400%. Administration officials at the White House have spoken about not providing any funding unless the agency undergoes many changes to reduce their footprint and save money for FedEx and UPS. Many of the president's arguments against the USPS stem from the ongoing differences between President Trump and Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, who also happens to be the publisher of the Washington Post, which is often critical of President Trump and his campaign as well as his presidency. He believes Amazon's contracts are taking advantage of the USPS and that the USPS should be charging major e-commerce companies like Amazon more money. Obviously, it is not just Amazon and the 400% increase in packaged rates that's at the center of this, but it is definitely one of the main, or you could say the loudest, arguments against the USPS funding. Democrats have taken the opposite view in regards to the situation. In the House, a relief bill is being prepared that will provide the USPS with $25 billion in direct funding and other relief measures to assist with debt. Said Speaker Nancy Pelosi, quote, "We have to fight for the post office," end quote. Meanwhile, the Postal Service creed states, quote, "Neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds," end quote. In there, I didn't hear any mention of cuts in government funding. So we'll have to wait and see, as we hear often, to find out what happens next for the future of the United States Postal Service. Thank you for tuning in today. Always love to hear from our listeners, so don't hesitate to reach out to us at news@callputstrike.com. Again, that's news@callputstrike.com. Hope you enjoyed today's episode for June 11th, 2020, and hope you have a great evening despite the downward turn in the markets. Looking forward to an optimistic finish to the week. But until then, we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Call Put Strike Financial News and Insights Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and head over to callputstrike.com for more financial news and insights. And now for our quick disclaimer. Stock recommendations and comments presented on callputstrike.com and the Call Put Strike podcast are solely those of the analysts and experts quoted. They do not represent the opinions of callputstrike.com or Call Put Strike podcast on whether to buy, sell, or hold shares of a particular stock. Investors should be cautious about any and all stock recommendations and should consider the source of any advice on stock selection. Various factors, including personal or corporate ownership, may influence or factor into an expert's stock analysis or opinion. All investors are advised to conduct their own independent research into individual stocks before making a purchase decision. In addition, investors are advised that past stock performance is no guarantee of future price appreciation. Opinions expressed here are the author's alone, not those of any bank, credit card issuer, hotel, airline, or other entity. This content has not been reviewed, approved, or otherwise endorsed by any of the entities included within the podcast, and by using this podcast, listening to it, you are agreeing to the terms of use and privacy policy outlined on callputstrike.com.